15 to 20 million.
Jump out. I am your future. This is about time for a change.
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. Here on 860 AM, as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio, but we are all over the world and all over the USA by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Today's a historic day because for the first time ever, we are having all people at the same broadcast table. So I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in as we begin our broadcast today with Mark Andel, the very famous Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. And you've been hearing about him for 4 3/4 years, or near 5 years. He's going to be celebrating an anniversary in a couple of weeks. Mark, say hello.
How you doing, Mike? It's great to be here. You know, Philadelphia is awesome. Thanks for picking me up and having me down. It's just a beautiful city, and it's neat to see everybody and meet you. I haven't met you in, 2.5 years, Mike?
2.5 years. Yeah. It's great. And, of course, you're sitting next to the man who loves that chair. He is a gentleman who insists on making sure that that chair is reserved for him, the very well-known Larkin Connolly.
So I hate to correct you, nor do I want to get off color or anything, but this chair likes me as much as I like it. It's a lot of good stuff going on. A
lot of good stuff went in this chair. Also, joining us here is Rich Loges, the ever-popular and very opinionated Rich Loges.
Good morning, guys.
And you'll be hearing from him throughout the broadcast today, and you'll also be seeing him if you're coming out to the movie this evening. Everybody's going to be there at the movie. Mark, Rich, Larkin, Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, and Patrice Banks, who's also in studio with us today. I will be there welcoming you at the door beginning at 5:30. Come and pick your tickets up. Now, I want to clarify one thing, especially for the people who come into town very often. Wednesday night, parking is free from 5 until midnight. So do come in tonight. Do not fear our good people that walk the streets, who Larkin really loves and respects very dearly.
And I'm carrying tonight, too.
But the thing is, also, I want to remind everyone that there is a tremendous amount of free spaces on Front Street around Walnut Street where you can just park and you don't need any ticketing, nothing. Just walk up that block and a half and you will see on the marquee of the movie theater, American Made Movie, and we'll all be waiting outside to greet you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this broadcast...
Michael,
yes,
you failed to acknowledge Patrice Banks.
Oh, Patrice. No, I did mention Patrice, that she would be there. She will be there tonight, and she will be smiling, and she'll
maybe
be here with
maybe
us.
Maybe. I don't know yet if I'm going to be able to make it tonight.
She'll do her best.
Henry, I will do my best, yes.
Do her best, as I expect all of you to come. Last time we had the movie, it was out of the city, and it was no controversy with the parking. And here it's a little bit of a situation, but Wednesday night, I guarantee you, Larkin will be out there making sure that there will be no meter maids out there. Also, following the movie, we're going to have some sodas and some Philly pretzels and cookies, Polish cookies and things like that here at the center from 7:30 to 8:30, where you'll be able to meet Mark after seeing him in the movie and meet the other members of the panel who do so much to help us to keep the movement alive. I do want to acknowledge that we have a great number of people who live at a distance and always have supported us. They send our emails out, and please do continue to do that because that's what the entire movement is all about. We're going to start off today with Larkin Connolly.
Well, Michael, before we move on to, well, they certainly wouldn't be bigger and better things. I wanted to acknowledge Patrice and allow her to tell us about an event that she attended last week at Westchester University, their third annual new entrepreneur idea.
It's a business pitch, yeah, business idea pitch.
And Patrice was one of 40?
12. Well, finalists.
114.
There was probably like over 100 people that submitted business ideas.
And there, it can be done. And the people fear doing those things. And it has to turn around. If we don't do it, no one is going to do it for us. No one's going to give us the lightning rod to do it.
Patrice F. Banks. Patrice, for fearless.
And I want to tell you that you can log on to Patrice on the front page of American Workers Radio. We do have our link up there. You'll see
the legs
sticking out of the car.
The heels.
The red high heels.
Yes.
Michael, for the record, I see the legs first, too. tell them what happened. So okay. There are 12 finals.
Yeah, there were 12. And it was a mix of Westchester University grad students, alumni, staff, professors, and SCORE members. I'm a member of SCORE. And we got 5 minutes to pitch in front of 12 judges. You first submitted online, and you answered like a survey and a questionnaire about your business. And then you were selected for 12 people to pitch in front of like 10 judges for 5 minutes. And then they asked you questions. And there was like a sit-down dinner, and they had all of us speakers in one room, so we weren't allowed to see like the other people and the questions that they were being asked. And it went well. I got the grand prize. Everybody really liked the idea. I won some money and a chance to pitch to investors for Girls Auto Clinic. Actually won twice.
Yeah.
Best idea in the SCORE category for SCORE, and then the grand prize for the best business pitch idea. And everyone thought it was great, it was unique, it's definitely needed, and they love. I don't know if I told you about the whole nail salon. Did I mention that?
Yes.
Yeah. So my pitch, I always start out with my personal story about me being at work one day. This is when I was an auto airhead. I didn't know anything about my car. I was an engineer at DuPont, and I was just at work one day on Facebook. Probably I shouldn't have been, but I was bored. It was a warm summer morning. I was trying to get out for lunch. I couldn't wait. And I had posted on my Facebook, my car needs an oil change, but I'm going to get a mani-pedi instead. And I did, because that's what I did when I was an auto airhead. I would get my nails done instead of protecting like a $25,000 asset. And the guys jumped on my status, like, you're going to be stuck on the side of the road, and this is why women shouldn't drive. Your engine's going to blow up. But the ladies were all like, this is, you know, she'll be okay. At least she'll look cute when a guy comes to rescue her. She's thumbing it for a ride. So I start out with like that personal story, and then I end it by saying, Girls Auto Clinic does all of this to educate and empower women. And our next, you know, big project is opening this shop that's going to cater to women with female mechanics. And then there's going to be a nail salon there so you can get your nails done. And everybody's like, they love that idea, especially the women. And they think it's unique and it's cool. And I think it was like because of the story that I told, it was just enthralling. People were excited.
Very good. My congratulations.
So yeah. I'm excited. And it's exciting for me. I can't wait.
We suspended all future business activities. And Patrice is going to go around the country and do pitches. Because if she can do one a week, she won $4,000.
At this. Hey, that's the way to do it.
It's a nice living.
It's a nice way for some of our young listeners to also get on the bandwagon and promote with the ideas that they have.
Mm-hmm.
We are welcoming Mark Andel here today, which is a historic visit. Mark, give us a little idea of what you think of the broadcast and what it's done for the movement.
Yeah, it was neat to talk to you guys how we actually came to meet. You know, Rich, you came down here and made the wrong turn, end up in the studio. And I get a call from you, Mike. I think you called Sue at one point and said, hey, we'd like to get Mark on when I first opened the store. And, you know, Larkin, I guess you came along about the same time. But it's neat. You look at the years that went by and how much we accomplished individually and as a team. But now I think we're really making a difference. We raise awareness together. And I personally, we're trying to get everybody on the same track with the Made in America, not only our stores, but our movement, and raise an awareness that it matters to buy Made in America products. I mean, you can make a difference. That consumer, by what they purchase, can make more difference than pretty well everything. I tell everybody, vote, number one, and buy Made in America products. Support the country you live in. Have 50-50 fair trade like we talk about all the time. And it's happening. That's what's needed. It is actually happening. Consumers are going out. They're complaining. They want more Made in America products. And that dollar stays in our country, that spider web effect. And we're up to 6,600 products in our stores, and we support 450 privately owned businesses. And that's awesome. You know, I think, and my team, my family, I can't say enough for. We've accomplished a lot, and it's been 5 years for our store, and I can't believe that.
Five years. I know.
Five
you
years,
just celebrated an anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, April 3rd, and we're going to celebrate it May 16th back home. But 5 years, five stores, three websites, and I still run my you know, general welding and fabricating, you know, but we're a certified nut house. You know, we get a lot done with great people.
Rich Logis was, we were all out yesterday. And, in fact, I have to say that, Mark went up the, art museum steps. He took a pose in front of the Rocky statue. It was a real nice evening and everybody had a chance to relax and talk. Some of the things that we talked about were really important. I was more silent yesterday. I had a little bit of a sore throat, but
what?
Yeah, I know.
What?
No, because Monday I was in.
And nobody invited me?
I think it was the fireball shot, Michael.
It could have been. But Rich Logis, you have met Mark in the past, and it's a great pleasure to have him. Most people honor people like Mark because he's done an enormous amount of work. People say, well, he's doing it for his own well-being. I'm sorry to tell you, searching out those products and all that took more work than anyone would ever believe, and getting this message out to the people. We don't have people in the main media willing to come out to cover this kind of stuff because it makes them look bad that they are not doing it on a regular basis. That's the thing that is very unfortunate. You will not turn on your television tonight or tomorrow night or next week and hear how many good movements there are working to bring those products back to the USA, teaching people what they can do to bring that element of industry, and from industry comes sales and shipping and all sorts of technology. We have to start promoting that, and I think that's where our next step has to be.
And I think we talked about it's common sense. It's really a simple, simple idea. Build in your own country, produce more than you consume. It works. It's how you grow an economy. It's so simple, but we were talking about why don't people grab a hold of it?
Yeah, how is it that for all these years, as our economy was going down, no one in our leadership said, wait, we got to do something about that? We are doing that. I don't understand why other leadership people are not involved. If I was running for Senate or Congress or something, I would want people in my district to know exactly what I'm going to do to improve the quality of life for them and their children and their grandchildren. And I don't hear that, and I don't receive that information on a regular basis.
Well, Mark, Patrice, first and foremost, what you guys have is, you say that it's a certified nut house, Mark, and my response to that is you cannot have a successful organization being totally sane. I mean, you got to have belief. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to have the gumption to do it, right? Have the guts and the gumption to do it. Patrice, same for you, right? You're trying to carve a niche. You're presenting an everyday thing, auto mechanic. You're presenting that though in a way that is unprecedented. People haven't thought about it this way until you. Same for you, Mark, right? Even Made in America, as we see Made in America pop up, to me, you're the pioneer of that. I think everybody's following your lead, but they're not following your lead to be followers. I think they're doing it and they're looking at it as a business. They're using the same logic behind what it is that you're talking about, saying support the country, support American made. Why? Because American made is, first off, as a number one reason, everybody can get behind it. I mean, it doesn't matter what your political beliefs are. It doesn't matter your religion or all of these things. How can you not get behind Made in America? Yeah, you know, it's a type of issue that doesn't have any premise to it other than supporting jobs, supporting the country, supporting what's made here.
Yeah, and lately I see it's not an R thing, a D thing, or a U thing.
Absolutely not.
This is about, my daughter's 12, she's my boss. You know, Jesse, I joke with that all the time, but I do it for her, you know, her future. You know, I tell on our new commercial, I said, this ain't about us, this is about our children's future, and it is. you know, if we don't do this, if we don't start producing more than we consume or building in our own country, it just won't be a pretty future.
You know, I was looking at statistics the other day. I was preparing this week's commentary for the radio, and I looked and I saw that in 1999, say the year 2000, we had 281 million people in the United States and 143 million people working. In the year 2014, which they just came up with the statistics, we have 320 million people and 143 million are working. It's, you know, we're creating new people, but not new jobs. And that's not what America was all about. It was not founded to do that. It was founded to make it the place of a great dream, and that's not happening.
Well, jobs are created, Michael, by existing businesses growing and new businesses, startups, whatever industry they're in, and current businesses that are looking to grow and expand. That's where jobs come from. Period. End of discussion. So any elected official has to begin his or her work when talking about this issue always with that as the foundation. Mm-hmm. And there are candidates who have declared for president who have publicly said that they don't believe that. And to me, the economy is probably the most important issue in America. And if it's not the most, it's as important as any. It's, if you don't understand that as the most basic fundamental tenet of the most important issue, it's going to be really hard to run this thing. Because running the country is, I can't imagine how difficult. That's a tough job. Right. But if you're talking about the most important issue, which in my opinion, you can tie everything to the economy.
One of the things that I've been learning in my travels, most recently, as the cold weather started to turn warm, I went and I did a little bit of a survey for last month's edition of National Small Business Weekend. And employers tell me, and our listeners tell me, and our supporters tell me, that more people in the stores are saying, we're getting the message, we're looking around for American-made products so that they could be available in our stores. Now, Mark, you have a certain amount of thousands, but that's in your area, you have those for distribution. How about the clothing? I understand that you have a brand new Made in America suit on today.
Yes, you know, about a year ago, I was asked to go down to Texas and, went to Men's Warehouse. You have a Made in America suit, and no, not at the time, but we have one coming out. So Joseph Abad, and they do, you know, make the suit here.
Looks good.
The Edmund shoes I've got on, Allen Edmund. I'm always 100% man. I've been tested, so, you know, underwear, socks. I've been, you know, I got to be that guy. You know, I've been my wife on the way down. I said, it's got to be Made in America. You know, they're going to call me out. And I've got a lot of stories with that. So I'm that guy. I'm proud of that, though, but it's a shame when we're looking for products. Remember, we started with 50 products and a handful of vendors back April 3rd, 2010, and everybody thought I was crazy, but I'm going to open the Made in America store for country, soldier, American worker. You know, I always said, I'm the good guy upstairs, you know. I mean, we did this. We gave hope. We had 600, 800 people show up in our parking lot that day, and things had changed for me. I mean, they really loved and bought on, but it's kind of sad that we're a Made in America store, became a destination in our own country. We've had 450 tour buses and all this great stuff happen, but it's sad we got to this point, and we called a 50-year mistake or a 30-year mistake. And Rich, we kid that we went to Mistake University, and I think we agree with that. But you know, we've got to just really grab a hold of it, believe in it. But we were talking last night: why don't people look at it? Why don't they care? Why doesn't our president even mention? I mean, just anybody in government just mention, hey, go out and buy Made in America products. They talk about it. We're close. But it does make a difference, and we're realists. We say globalism, you know, it's there. We've got to have it, but we need a better balance.
It's going to take a very strange timing, extremely strange occurrences to make Made in America really move forward and move forward strong. We're going to have to come up with some ideas that have a unique proposition. We don't have mm-hmm. that right now, mm-hmm. but it's so desperate in this country. We need the unique proposition. And once we develop that unique proposition, the step two should be trying to find American-made, the American-made initiative to meet the challenges of that specific product. But the biggest problem we have is supply chain. We don't have a supply chain. The supply chain has collapsed.
So if I can put in my two cents, I think I'm a little bit younger than some of you guys. I'm also a woman, so maybe I have a different perspective.
Both honestly, are very obvious.
honestly, I mean, I think this Made in America thing is needed, and I believe it, and I stand behind it. I think the issue, honestly, is it's not sexy enough, and it sounds very, okay, we want our country back, Made in America, bring our jobs back, bring this back. And millennials just aren't hearing that, right? They're into moving forward. We want progress. We want technology. So it's how can you tap into what these younger kids are thinking of the future of America and say, how can we create those things here in America? And possibly, like, I even think, why don't we do business pitches for people that have businesses that have their products and everything or their services here made in America? Why don't we ask these young millennials that have all these tech ideas and they're coming up with all these entrepreneurial spirits and say, who can come up with an idea where we also have these products and our services here in America? And start pushing it with them, like talking to these younger kids, because if you're trying to get out to some of this older generation that already knows, yes, we knew how it was when the jobs were here and we want that back, the younger kids don't know. And so it's working with them when they're moving forward, what they're doing, and how we can incorporate Made in America into what they're doing. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's how you're going to get the attention, the sexiness, the trendiness of it to get people's attention.
Target and Walmart are a standard for the millennials.
Yeah,
I mean, they think the standard issue is retail at Target and Walmart, two of the most egregious offenders when it comes to Made in America.
And yeah. I see, you know, Patrice, you're opening a business working on cars and everything, and I've done the hand tools and skilled workers, and of course I own General Welding and Fabricating. We work with tools, but we lead with quality too, mm-hmm. and you'll find the quality tool is generally made here or in a country that mm-hmm. believes in quality. And we try to lead with quality. We lost that in our culture too. It's the throwaway world.
Right.
And I always say, at what price? You know, you buy one of our garden hose, it's Goodyear. You can tie it in a knot. It doesn't kink. It's $50. Mm-hmm. But you can buy a $9.99 garden hose five times every year, you know, once every year.
Right.
But the American-made movie tonight, that's the whole purpose of the movie, is to kind of educate. It shows where we were after World War II, where we are today. It metaphors baseball. It's non-political, but it raises awareness, and it actually shows, you know, where we've been, what we need to do, and it shows the global world, and it shows every piece of the pie that we need, but it raises that can-do spirit. And I asked my boys, I got twin boys, and, you know, did you like that movie? And, you know, Jake had mentioned, yeah, I've seen a lot of documentaries, but I like this one better. Why? Well, it was more inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the stories of what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
It shows, you know, how much we go through. So that movie, now being accepted in every Georgia school, 80,000 kids will see it. 960 Georgia schools are going to teach the movie as a curriculum. That's going to make change, because they're going to teach it to fifth graders through 12th. And we got to educate. We go back. I blame the the parents and the guidance counselors. You have to make working with your hands okay again. Mm-hmm. It can't be like doing drugs around a car. Yeah, you got being a plumber, a machinist. I work with my hands. I did good. You know, Rich, you kid, hear about Harvard. I didn't go there. You know, I didn't either. You know, my father had worked two jobs, got us out of the city, the suburbs of Buffalo, and he did good. We had a swimming pool and an extra car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was okay to work with your hands. We've got to, there's so much to this. We got to change the schools, and we got to make it okay to work. And you got to give them choices, these kids. And the movie does a good job of showing that, gives a choice. And, there's so much to this.
Have you considered like a Made in America app, and where you can find businesses that have Made in America products instead of coming to the store or going to the website, like in every city or something? They have apps for sustainability and local growth and finding businesses that use local services and, you know, local food. Why not do that for something like Made in America?
And it's neat. And I was blessed with all the media attention in the beginning, and Fox mm-hmm. and Friends and World News, and we got a ton. And I stayed positive and told the story why we did it. I said, it ain't about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is about helping our country. And my two nephews, Tony and Dan, run our website. So we got MadeAmericaStore.com. We got Amazon built us a site, which is unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Wholesale.com, where mm-hmm. we want to wholesale now.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easy. And today I gave you this new patriotic catalog to help American Legions, VFWs, or anybody. It's just a catalog showing patriotic goods, but to help these organizations. But we are trying to make it easier through social
right.
media outlets and bring people together, though. You know, get them all on one track. Show them the importance. Because once they really learn where stuff is made, most people blame me. Thanks to you, Mark, it takes longer to shop now. You know, my store, I've done the homework for you. When you go through these doors, we've got 6,600 products now. We started with 50. We support 450 privately owned businesses, Wigwam, Channel Lock. Now, every Channel Lock player is not 100%. But the ones that are, we sell. They've changed screws for me. People made change to be in our store now. Originally, my family, my wife, my children, we did so much homework on these products. first used car salesman would hang up. You know, he'd hang up. Whoa, you're crazy with this. We have three letters of authenticity on every product we sell. Everybody can't be 100%. Mm-hmm. But I say this is our core value. This is our concept. So we stuck to it. We want nobody to deceive us. But even if we're 50%, Mike, but you got to realize how many people you affect with one product. They might make the label. They might make the glue. They might make the box. People don't grab that spider web effect of a Made in America product, and the money stays here. It just makes quite a difference. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, if you buy the foreign product, you know, they get the money. If we built, you know, here, if we built the product, we get the product and we get to keep the money. And it just, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, to Patrice's end, it is the millennials who we need to be addressing right now.
Yeah.
You're not going to change a 58-year-old mother of four who's got one in college, three in high school, and she's trying to make a budget reach so far. She's going to Target. I don't care what anybody says. She'll pat you on the back and say, I'm 100% behind you, and off to Target she goes.
Right.
And she never looks at a label.
But at Target, she could try to find that Made in America product.
That's right.
If there is one.
If there is one. But I'll tell you what, I've been hard-pressed to find one.
Yeah, but raise, you know, ask the question. That's what I'm asking people now. At least ask the question in these stores, because that makes a difference. They'll go pick on their managers and their buyers and say, geez, these people are asking. That's where the consumer has that power.
So I was in a Target in Fleming Island, Florida, looking for a flag. Everybody in my new neighborhood, whether you're blind, crippled, or crazy, hangs a flag, a 4x5 flag, maybe the smaller one, 3x5 flag, off of their mailbox. So my wife and I said, we better boot Scoot Boogie out and get a flag, because we don't want people throwing eggs at us because they think we're communists or whatever people that fly flags do. But at any rate, went to Target, not one.
Not one flag?
Taiwan. No, they had flags out the wazoo.
It's funny you bring that up, Larkin, because 50, you know, I always, on the buses that come and everybody at our speech I do, I said, let's just agree on one thing. Our flag should be made here, especially the ones draped over a soldier's casket or flooring above it. Of course, I'm very close with our veterans. And people can't believe that we don't make all the flags. I said, no, 50%. You know, Mr. Carter's in the movie tonight, and I met he owns Annan Flag and a lot of good things. But at least I want to agree that our flag should be made here. But people, when you raise that awareness, they're like, you're kidding me. Our flag's not made here. They just don't know.
Yeah.
So the younger, you know, kids, when you get the younger people in our store, they do get it, and they're very smart. When you explain it to them, they do go away thinking, wow, that doesn't make sense. So
hey guys, if
you got to explain it to them, though.
Excuse me, if I may. Patrice had mentioned the app. I wanted to give Mike Sessions a plug. He does a Go for Made in USA phone app. He does have a phone app for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's trying to reach out to younger people.
To me, I think of this, what are we doing to inspire the younger people to create companies that make products here in America instead of just saying, what products can we give you to buy? What are we doing to inspire you to create something here in America that's going to continue this forward?
You teach the chain of reaction of what happens when
it's inspiring
you source something. Yeah. And
that comes back to the schools, too. They took the metal shops, the wood shops, the power mechanics, electronics. I had that in my high school.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the BOCES program in New York, which we have, and they all think I did. Now, I had a great father that taught me a ton. I was a kid that cried to be in the garage. We shopped at the Alma dumps, and don't tell your mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't take nothing in to get it fixed. We fixed it, and that caused that. But that relationship, being exposed to it, is what we're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make it okay, and it's interesting. We support entrepreneurs and inventors in our store. I give them wall space. I help them get out of the garage. They don't even know that I'm helping them, but marketing is 95%. I used to say 80. Marketing is 95% of the business. You have to be able to market. Our stores are a great way. At General Welding, we make fire rings, the All-American Grill we've got coming out. It's a lot of neat things, and we put them at the stores, and we market it, you know, and it gives it exposure. And yet, yeah, all the stuff I try to build is 100% if I can, because that's our concept and core value.
But I think you really have to approach middle schools forward and teach them, you know, the ins and outs, the pluses and minuses of, you know, bringing the jobs back to America. And you're going to ultimately have them talking about unions and where unions have to find themselves a spot in this process.
And also women, right? So really target women, because we are the number one consumer, right? We control the money. We buy more products.
Absolutely.
And so, and women, we are a little bit more empathetic to stuff like that, you know?
And Patrice, as you're saying that, I want you to put it on air right now to every woman listening. Go out this weekend, number one.
Yes.
It's the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Support National Small Business Weekend.
Yes.
And question everything at the store. Women are the major buyers in the USA.
We are.
They have to be the major questioners. Mm-hmm. Can I depend on Rich Lotus? Oh, yes, I can depend on him going out to question everybody. Mm-hmm. Can I depend on Mark Andel? Absolutely. Even Henry Chaplinsky told me his son Mason questions everything now. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we have to do it.
And it's funny, and Rich, you changed, you know, from when we met. I mean, you used to pick on me, you know, that everybody can't be as patriotic values and business is about making money. And I think we agree that it's both, they're both true, you know, but you, you got to keep one eye on your country because it's our, it's the only America we have.
I don't support, and in the context of saying that, Mark, it wasn't at the expense, making money at the expense of no accountability.
Now, we still have one night together, so I don't want to blow that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, last night was bad. Tonight's going to be a doozy.
Yeah, so we got to be careful how we treat each other.
You know one thing, guys, I got to say, though, and this is true of our panel as a whole. As a former journalist, I used to view people whom I spoke with, oftentimes they were different people in private as they were public. For better or for worse. Our panel is not that way. When I met Michael, it was 2.5 years ago. I took a wrong turn. I was down here. Me and my wife were living in New York. Came to a Phillies game for a business event. I took the day off the next day. It was August. It was nice weather. I said, let's go down to the Liberty Bell. I took a wrong turn here on Walnut. My wife is from Poland, so we're driving. I don't know where I am. I see the Polish flag. And then outside is a sign that says, serving kielbasa and pierogi. So I said, oh, we got to stop. We got to go in. I said, park the car. And meanwhile, I didn't realize the parking situation then. But I parked. We came in, saw the museum, met Michael, met Henry. We got to talking about politics. A couple of weeks later, Michael called me. Said, you want to come on the show? This is summer 2012. I said, yeah, sure. So I asked him two questions. First, what's it about? What's the show about? And then number two was, can I curse on the air? That's basically what I asked. I said, I just want to make sure that I don't get any, like, you know, Colin Powell's kid finding us or something.
And what did he say? Damn it. No, you can't curse on.
Yeah, yeah. And there were a couple other things in there. And so we came, you know, I came on, I was invited. And that was over 2 years ago. So today I'm here because of a wrong turn. That's really how it happened.
But you've helped many people understand a lot of things. As a journalist, you gave a good perspective of what we're doing, how we can do better. In fact, Larkin, I was thinking earlier when you were saying, I'd like to get all of the SCORE people together from, say, maybe the last 2 or 3 years. Maybe we could have like a little summit or something. How are they doing as a result of opening their new business in the last 2 years? And have sort of a forum where everybody speaks up and I'm, you know, being rewarded in this respect and this could be better. And that may also be an opportunity to support one another. When we were at the Small Business Expo, what I really liked is the people were coming up who listened to the radio and said, I use this National Small Business Weekend for my own business. And I said, well, okay, tell me what you do. And they said, well, I offer with my pizzas, you buy two pizzas, I give you a soda free. You buy a dozen of rolls, I'll give you an extra one. I'll do something to make sure that you remember that you shopped at my place and you got some reward for supporting National Small Business Weekend. That's all this is about. And it came about the same way, Rich, when our local customers were going to the Walmarts and the Targets, and there's no reason not to find American made in there. If the people speak up, remember, Patrice, I want those ladies putting the call down as of today.
Right.
And I'll hear from people tonight that they heard Patrice, and I want to hear what they're going to do this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as we have National Small Business Weekend. And, you know, we have many of the people who support us are small businesses. And they appreciate what we do. And they are located in the communities that are being affected by the big stores with the parking lots and the shopping carts and all. When you go into the smaller community stores, you may have to shop 4 or 5 places to get your goal. The big stores are trying to make it that you just come in the door and all of your goals are realized and you just move forward, pack it up in the car and go.
Now, Mike, you know, I've got the 5 stores. You know, one's the flagship store in Elm, and then we've got 3 mall stores, and we're in Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is on the second floor of the, you know, One Niagara. But that's a souvenir store when people come over, we were worried what they would think. And, you know, it's half domestic, half foreign. But you know what they love? They love the Made in America symbol because it stands for quality. And we overshot the first year. What would they like? And you know what they like? Everything we like. But they want to actually take something back from our country. They don't want to take something back that they bought here that's from their country. You know, and we raise awareness. And, boy, 3 years later, that store is doing very well. We raised awareness. But, you know, the foreigners love our symbol. Made in America stood for quality around this world.
And, you know, awesome. You're right, Mark. And, you know, when some of the tourists come to historic Philadelphia, they say to me, I had no idea there was this much foreign-made stuff in your stores. I can get that stuff in my own country at a little more expensive price, maybe, which just sounds unbelievable to me, and no worry about taking it back in suitcases and all this and that. So these are the kinds of things that we are trying to do, is get people to start looking at labels, but more than that is to get the businesses who feel that maybe it's time to open a new business. It's because people are going to back me. If we continue to back the American-made label, we will have. I'm asking all of the unions, non-union, the small people, the single proprietors, everybody, please start helping us spread the word. Invite them to tune into our show. Let them take a look at our internet site. All of it is positive. We're non-sectarian and we're non-political. We just want people to get back to work so they can support themselves.
So for entertainment, this is my half hour announcement for entertainment today. I suggest everybody go out and buy the Philadelphia Inquirer magazine and read all of the articles. I think there are three of them about who's running for mayor and what they think is important for America and what they think is important for America. I'm not going to mention any names. Absolutely refuse to mention any names. But Jim Kenney came out the other day and said, I am really for Philadelphia. I've advanced all the LBGTA, XYZ, whatever they are, things, which are great. I have nothing against that. I think that's great. I legalized marijuana, or when they didn't legalize it, but small amounts of marijuana, you get a parking ticket. Approved sick pay. I'm listening to all of these initiatives, and I'm going, what in hell's name have you done for Philadelphia? You've done nothing for the city of Philadelphia. And at the tail end, he said, and I'm for every man having a job. Well, good, Jim.
Well, you know, I want to, you're bringing a, you're bringing a good point. Many of the people running for mayor have come to us and say, well, support us. And I say, well, you have to support our efforts too. And Larkin, that brings to me to a very big question is, everybody knew for the last 6 months that they were going to run for mayor or senate or Congress. Not one person has given us an A to Z schedule of what they're going to do to encourage businesses to move into the city, move into the state, move into the USA. That's what I want to hear.
I think they're talking about, like, you know, kind of changing the way they do taxes. I think that's what they're saying is causing a lot of businesses to leave is just the old antiquated tax structure.
Right.
Here.
Anybody can say, I'm going to drop your taxes. Right. If you had more people paying into the tax base, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have to worry about constantly getting taxes. You'd automatically getting them from business proceeds and mm-hmm. business taxes. The fact that we don't have enough businesses employing the people, as I said earlier, we now need 40 million jobs just to be at a break-even point. It's not 40 or 400 or 4,000 or 40,000. It's 40 million jobs. That's a lot of jobs.
And businesses create taxpayers, right?
Not absolutely.
They don't create tax users. Mm-hmm. They create tax mm-hmm. payers, you know? So that's a...
You know, and over dinner last night, we had quite the conversation with an illustrious group of friends that I have concerning Baltimore and what's going on down there right now. And my contention is that it's not really a racial issue. It isn't. It just isn't.
Is.
It's an economic
it
issue.
Is. It
absolutely.
Is.
It's
it
all
is.
About the economy, and, stupid.
And you know, Larkin, everyone who's brought that to my attention in the last week, I say, we should have stopped talking about race a long time ago.
No, we shouldn't have.
Talking about quality of what you have to offer. a business, yourself, or whatever. We can't say this because you're white or you're black or you're Puerto Rican or whatever. No, we are one people in this country. We're home. We are our own people. We have to learn to support one another. Men, women, children all have to have the dignity of being Americans.
You need to learn how to give economic opportunity to every individual in this country.
Right.
You need to educate them to the blue-collar side of life because there's nothing wrong with that side of life. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to...
Well, Mark, I mean, you were talking about how the trade schools, right? And I've known, because I just went to, I speak a lot at trade schools. The high schools, they want me to come because they're trying to get women into automotive. And I just went to Delaware County Technical High School on Monday, and I spoke to a bunch of boys about what it's like being a woman in the automotive industry. And I actually kind of switched it as, women are your number one customer. You need to learn how to start catering to women and working with women in this industry. But you're seeing this trend where now that we have all these, we pushed all of our young kids and told them to go to college and get a job, and you're gonna get a job, and you're gonna be working in banking, and they're unhappy, they don't like it, they can't find jobs. And you're seeing this shift where kids are starting to enroll in trade schools more. They're craving these jobs where they're working with their hands. They have schools that they're creating where they're teaching kids by working with their hands. So I think you're going to start to see a shift where it's going to start coming back. People are going to want to start working with their hands. They're going to start going to trade schools. You're going to see, I think, a college and university bust. And I think that's going to also help. But this is where you feel this wave coming. This is when you start getting people involved and going to schools and talking about how important this is, having these types of jobs and creating these types of jobs.
You know, we discussed many times, how are we going to also encourage more of the businesses to tell the schools exactly what they need for their success? In other words, if a business is opening up something, they're going to definitely have a bookkeeper and a salesperson and all that. But what are they going to need to get the actual product on the table so it can go to market?
Well, you know, last year I went, you know, General Welding and Fabricating, we run 24/7, 6 days a week, two plants. So I couldn't find welders at all last year. You know, we got oil and mining back. We got a lot of good stuff back that we haven't had in 6-7 years. I had work. We talk about it all the time, how hard it is to find a skilled worker. But I couldn't find. I needed 20 welders. I found one A+. So we started to train. I trained, started a little, you know, to work with a local school and grew him. But I recently went to Elford Tech and took my two guys, my operations manager and my weld manager, and we went down, talked to the teachers. First, a little awkward. Then we got a great discussion going. 80 kids that come in, about 40 pass, you know, 50-50. But it's a great, they said, Mark, how do we keep you in business so that we have a job? And, you know, we need these students here. But we talked about them not coming in on time, so they got 4 points they get off their average if they don't come in one day on time. But they're strict, but they're trying to teach them for the how the world is out there. What I need, you know, and that's where I want to tie with the school more and more. Come through. I need TIG, MIG, stick, but I need pulse. I need aluminum welding. I need stainless steel. And we're not on the same track totally, but we're working together. Even with our local public school, I started an internship program with them. 54 hours a kid would work, and they get a half credit. But they came in 12th grade, and they go, hey, that's pretty cool. I said, what are you going to be? Well, my dad wants me to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But that looks cool. Mm-hmm. But it's 12th grade already. It's too late. That's why we got to start in 5th, 6th, or 7th, or 8th.
That's right.
It's never too late. I became a mechanic at 31 years old, and I was an engineer for 12 years. And I was an engineer because I was told, you're good at math and science, go be an engineer. And that's what I did.
But, Patrice, you said good choice of wording earlier about making something sexy.
Right.
Right. Now, Larkin, you're talking about the candidates here and what they're talking about. Politicians don't tend to be particularly original. Mm-hmm. What they do is they just offer the usual, like right now what we're going to hear about, there's four main groups, right, that politicians tend to talk about: seniors, working families, immigrants, and gay and lesbian. I mean, that's what the political conversation is. Now, I'm not suggesting, I've never have, that those groups, whatever demographic, shouldn't be represented. That's not how politicians view voting blocks, because people say, well, that's who votes. And I always correct them and say, that's actually not true, because I don't fall in any of those groups and I vote. So government is supposed to be representative of everyone. It shouldn't matter color, race, religion. You know, I'm black, I'm white, I'm black and white. The problem is, though, politicians can get away with it for a couple reasons. First and foremost, most voters don't vote. Okay, and the ones who do vote will be these groups whom they pander to.
We always come back to that. We always come back to that.
But, Larkin, one other thing I want to say. When you're talking about Baltimore, All right, and Michael, you're talking about race, where they intertwine. And the reason that I say the economy is the most important issue in this country, broadly speaking, is because of economic opportunity,
right,
and access to that. Our jail has hundreds and hundreds of customers. Many of them are minority and immigrant and women, business people and business owners. And I'm going to tell you a couple things about them. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to speak for anyone. But I will tell you, first and foremost, especially those from other countries, they will tell you to a T that they came to this country to pursue economic opportunity and a higher standard of living. Some of the women I know, when they hear the politicians talk about women, Patrice, you know what they tell me? They say, I can't stand politicians talking about them. They want to speak for me.
Right.
I can speak
right.
for myself.
Right.
Same for minority business owners. We have some customers who came up. They were want for many things in their and if you look right now in the national scene, though I'm not saying here and now I'm going to cast a vote for him, look at Ben Carson. Look at this guy, Dr. Ben Carson, right? Very, very successful. The guy was 33 years old. He was running the neurosurgeon department at Johns Hopkins, right? 33 years old as a black man. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to some of the media talk about this guy, they have all these racial epithets for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, why would, okay, you want to disagree, but why are you, the very thing that many minorities want to talk about as having equality
mm-hmm.
and access to economic opportunity. Here's a guy who did it. What exactly did he do? I mean, what is it that he did? He didn't come from a wealthy family. The guy came up through the ranks. If you want to talk about race, the way you talk about it, Michael, is through access to economic opportunity.
Yep.
Lack of education, Larkin. Yep. Lack of education will lead to a lack of critical thinking. Because,
mm-hmm.
damn it, the number one
yep.
problem in this country is how little people know. That is the number one problem that we have in this country. It is how. Now, what do we know a lot about? All of this crap that's on the media. I mean, just wait till
Whatever's sexy.
Until the presidential election. You think there's crap now? You guys better put a clothespin on your nose. It's going to stink so much. Just wait.
Plastic bags
I can,
over.
Yeah. I can do the Kardashian girls' names in Pig Latin without taking a breath. Seriously, what has happened to what we find to be a priority in this country? It just is absolute insanity. What should be important isn't the slightest bit important.
But
that
you know,
really
you're,
well said.
Larkin,
I,
you're
I agree.
Very
well,
well said,
said
with that.
I
have to tell you,
saying.
Through our movement, people are saying we decide what to do in the future, not the politicians. They've already
right.
showed us what they did for 30 and 35 years. We have to speak up in behalf of our own families, our children. We have kids graduating out of college, no job to go to. We have veterans coming back from their point of service, no job to go to. How can that possibly be in a country where we invented most things and had them in this country for 100 years, manufacturing them, now we have nothing.
But
so why don't we tell these kids, make something then? You can't get a job, well then you create a job for yourself by doing something that's made in America.
Okay.
But Patrice, Michael, excuse me, but Patrice, you know what you just did?
What?
You just spoke to a youngster like an adult. You see, that's what you just said right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you youth get it. You know, the thing about youth is they get it.
They do.
Okay, they do get it because they can absorb and process information quickly. And a lot of that does have to do with technology. I don't want to put it all down, but it is not the end all be all. And they get it. So you want to talk to youth, you can't baby up until the day that you graduate high school, Michael.
I mean, right, absolutely.
You know, you got to get tough. You've got to have the, I don't have children. I always joke all the time. I'm a childless small business owner born in America. I am the most useless voter walking. But I don't take it personal. See, when the politicians pander,
mm-hmm.
that's because I say, well, that's who votes. Correction, I vote. But instead of taking it personal, Michael, instead of feeling like, what many voters feel, which is this self-victimization of, I'm not represented. Well, you need to go and demand it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you don't take it. You've got to go out and do something about it, damn it. You can't sit there and take it because they're just going to walk right over. You got to go out and do something about it.
That's why there aren't any statesmen anymore. They're all politicians. We don't have a statesman who sits down and decides he's going to fix something for this country because he's obligated to fix this country. Instead, the most important thing to him is getting elected, or her, mm-hmm. is getting elected. And then what happens immediately after they're elected? running for the next race.
To become a lifetime in that
right.
position.
And, you know, Larkin, you're right. Now is time for us to make a pact and say, we've done this for a few years. We have to continue our message, move it forward, mm-hmm. even in a bigger and better way, by putting somebody like Mark up, Larkin up, Rich up, Patrice up, and myself, and all of us working together to bring the message. What are we going to do to teach our young people a trade, or let them know what they want to be by the time they enter the first day of class in the 10th grade?
And I said, you know, America got lazy, selfish, and greedy. I mean, they did. We got to admit it. We have a 30-year mistake. You know, my wife, Jackie, my daughter, 12, my twins, 20, Brian, 30. We work for a living. We don't get handouts. You know, my wife has better work ethic than anybody I know. You know, I mean, but how do we lose the work ethic too, though? Because a lot of people want handouts, and I don't. You know, we work. So how do we get this work ethic going? And we talk about the young kids, and mm-hmm. some get it, some don't. But we've got to get that, and it's okay to work. I mean.
Well, I think the work ethic is changed, and it's different in what it means to have work ethic for some of the younger kids than what it means to your generation. And it's about finding how to motivate them, because they don't work with their hands. So work ethic to them is different than I'm working 10-hour, 12-hour shift, you know, building something. When they're in front of a computer, on Facebook, doing, you know, building a website, doing this over here on their phone. So work ethic is a little bit different for them, where they still think I'm working and they're still getting stuff done, but it's not how it would look for you.
Right, because I was a Rector Set kid. I built models, Estes rockets.
Right.
I had
3-4 jobs in high
school. I'd send a frog into space and he wouldn't make it. You know, I mean, but I did that. I worked with my hands and built things. I loved building things. But I'd look at pictures. I was that guy to build it and try go-karts and things. Right. But that's lost, kind of. But I don't know if it should be. My daughter's, you know, 12. She went from a Catholic school. They closed it down. So she just started at a public school, 7th grade. She just took tech class. I said, you know, ask them, do they weld there? No, we just do wood. I said, well, I pick on carpenters. I can't weld that together. Yeah. So I'm a metal guy. But, you know, Jessie came out the second day of the class. She said, Dad, I got 100 on what? Well, it was a questionnaire on what a hammer is. What a screwdriver is. Mm-hmm. She already soldered. But nobody does that no more.
I mean,
so she was unusual. They can't even hold onto
Mark,
a hammer.
What you're saying is that should have been a 3rd or 4th grade question.
But they should have more, too. Like, she only has tech class left in the public school. But they should have more, I think, too. But it was neat she was exposed. But a lot of people don't know what a screwdriver is. You know, what Phillips and regular.
Right.
That's
and that's exactly
I mean,
what
I just think it's a problem. But it is a changed world.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I'm begging.
You would think this is stuff that women typically don't know, but men don't know. Nowadays, men don't know that stuff as
but
well.
But if you were a doctor, shouldn't you be able to fix your own doorknob, tighten it up or whatever? No, I mean.
Seriously.
I was an engineer and I could barely lift the hood of my car. So no, Sorry.
Yeah, but if you get a rounded education in middle school, you know which end of the hammer to hold. Right. Seriously. And
not everybody does it nowadays. To industrial arts is a bad name. I talked to teachers. They said these kids can't even hold a hammer. They physically don't know how to. That's a problem. They should be exposed to it.
Well, so I wanted to make a point also about term limits. We touched on it just for a second. I had a client come to me, and we were talking about family successions, family-owned business. They weren't moving forward. Sales were slightly on a decline. You know, the family generation is moving through the business, but they were getting towards the top of the business, and it was all stopping. So they were bringing on more family and finding a hard place to put them, and sales were off. And so I said, well, I want to talk to the top person. The top person happens to be a female, grandma. So I sat down and I spoke to her for a while. She's been the CFO, the CEO of the company, the top dog at the company for 18 years. And I said, thank you very much. It's nice talking to you. And I went back to the family and I said, I found your problem. Nobody is qualified to run a company for 18 years. Period. Amen. You become so stagnant.
Right.
And you use the same tools. You use the same approach. If you're going to have a successful company, you have to bring in fresh blood constantly. That's succession. And when family businesses fail, it's either because the top guy jumps off the building with a parachute and leaves it for his 14-year-old son who doesn't know squat, or that guy refuses to jump and stays and stagnates the company. You can't, in a leadership position, you should go to an emeritus role and stand there and help the new person coming along. That's the same problem with term limits.
Yep.
These politicians get down there. What can an 87-year-old senator tell me about the
economy today?
Yeah. This guy goes out for ice cream and buys popsicles. Come on, man, get out of the way.
And did he take the horse and buggy to get it?
Well, he didn't take the horse and buggy, but he told me about horse and buggies all the way down to the ice cream shop. So
let me tell you, back in my day, what was that, 1820?
How? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to take a very short break, and I'm just going to briefly acknowledge the people who are sponsoring our broadcast today, and they include Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, Serena's Auto Body Shop, the Net Cost Market, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, Mr. Steinman, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, Dr. Eva Maciak, a great dentist, and Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, as well as Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and the Polish American Travel Service, as well as Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And don't forget, Washington Savings Bank is there to serve all of your banking needs, and Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio welcomes clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And Karen Janot of State Farm Insurance wishes all a very good National Small Business Weekend this weekend. And also Dr. Wojciech Zin and Everest Dental reminds you to contact them for all of your dental needs. And Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the PNA, also wishes all of you the very best. And they would like to say a special welcome to Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, and Rich Logis for the first time all together in the studio. Thanks to Henry Chaplinsky for all that he does to make sure that the program runs very smoothly. And Patrice Banks, thank you for being here with us today. I want to say you'll be able to meet all of these great gentlemen and possibly Patrice tonight at the American Made movie. That'll be at 6 p.m. at the Ritz Theater, 214 Walnut Street. Remember, parking is free. No advance tickets were distributed. If you gave your name, your tickets will be available at the door. If you don't have a ticket, come and we'll see you there and have a great time with us meeting Mark. Following the event at the movie theater, we will move over to the Polish American Cultural Center, where we're going to have Philly pretzels and also some sodas and cookies and things like that, whatever they prepare, and I look forward to seeing you there as well. Well, as you can see by the clock on the wall, we're going to have to do this again. Now, Mark, I think you're going to have to take a plane to Philly more often, and we'll all get together on more occasions, and I would like to see the idea of the summit. I also want to take this opportunity to mention Joe Kraus from the Philly Labor Show and Pat Iding and all the other people who are supporting our efforts to get jobs back here in the USA.
Michael, I want them on this program.
We want
nose to nose. I'm waiting for them.
Here's what we're going to do, Larkin.
Be here for that.
I want to get all those guys on the program for the summit. We're going to have to put a 3-hour program together because I want all of us working together like never before.
Labor plays such an enormous part in turning this country around, and I don't think they realize that yet.
Yes, we have to work closely together. Guys, I look forward to seeing you. We're going to have our little press get-together at the Independence Visitor Center at 1 p.m. And then at 6 p.m., come 5:30, park your car, take a little walk around, and be at the movie for 6 p.m. start time. Until I see you this evening, or until next Wednesday at 11, thank you for tuning in. David Zenia, I przyjemnego mega weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
See you next week.
Searching for an old church steeple, where inside you'll find people.